Good morning and welcome to Kingdom School, everybody that is watching. So here I am again, taking Rodney's place. Elder Rodney is sick, and so I have the blessing of filling in for him. And his desire was to talk about intimacy today. We spoke about the church at Ephesus and the church at Philadelphia, and both of them had relationships with the Lord in one way or another. And so I want to begin today in Song of Solomon and end today in Romans chapter 8. It's only through intimacy with the Lord that we can truly become mature sons of God in the kingdom. So the first thing I would like to do is read a poem written by a woman I met over the last few days at a conference. And it's a poem about God's love for us and our love for him. So just take a moment and focus on what I'm saying and how it pertains to you, because it describes the quanta love of God. White, hot, liquid fire burning through the dark caverns of my soul, illuminating light of the lover of my soul. He's breaking the chains of my captivity. Let the sound of your voice reverberate in the depths of my being. You are the fullness of all I desire. Burn your glory through my spirit, my soul, and my body until all that is seen is you. My King, my Lord, my all in all, lover of my soul, I am yours. It was written by a prophetic violinist. Her name is Janet Schell. And it is a beautiful description of what the end product can be when we continue to pursue the Lord. So I'm going to call this the road to intimacy. I'm sure that's pretty close to what Pastor Rodney would have called it. And I'm going to take what I call the stairs in Song of Solomon. And starting in Song of Solomon 2:16. Where the Shulamite says to the Lord, to her lover, she says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." So that's usually where we start. We're very self-focused and we're concerned about our feelings and how we perceive things. And so she says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." So we come... Does anybody have a comment about what I just said? Because, you know, the bridegroom is asking us to leave this place of selfishness or self-focus. And sometimes we believe we've arrived. Right? Just in that one scripture, "My beloved is mine and I am his." We think that that's all there is. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So, when we devote ourselves to the Lord in an unreserved way, and there is happiness no matter what situation we're in, because the Lord is our focus, and we have opportunity, we put ourselves in a position to be overcome by his goodness. So, would you say that? I mean, can you relate that to when you first got saved?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you get to that place where, you know, I can remember even for my own self, it's like, "Lord, whatever you want, just do whatever you want," you know? Mm-hmm. And then he does, and it's like, oh my gosh, what did I just say? Right? So he does with us what he pleases. It talks about, let me just look at that again, because I think I wanted to talk about 17 also, verse 17. So Song of Solomon 2:16. Oh no, I know what it was. Okay, sorry. I was talking about another part in there where it talks about he likes to go among the lilies of the field, and that's our purity, our life with him. He feeds upon his own life within us. So, Okay, Matthew 2, verse 11. I forgot to tell somebody that. I'll read it. This is, you know how a lot of times in the scripture, it has a lot of pictures, it has a lot of beautiful imagery, and I wanted to go back and relate this to when the shepherds came and the kings came and gave Jesus the gifts. And in Matthew 2:11 it says, "And when they had come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." And that word worship there means to gaze upon, but it's a reciprocal gazing. So it's not just that we come and worship the Lord, but he comes and he's looking back at us. He's looking back at himself inside of us. He left.
So
is
he? No. He was
being silly. Oh, okay. Well, I'm Italian if you're making fun of my hand gestures.
No, we can't if you want us to.
Oh, okay.
Don't give him permission to make fun of you. Since when do I need permission to make fun of you?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, harassment is one of my love languages.
Yeah, I kind of gathered
that.
All right, already. Okay.
Is that yours or one you impose on others?
Okay, yeah. Let's get back to this love thing, okay?
I love you.
Yes. Okay, so the Lord looks back at us, even as he did when he first touched down on this planet. He's still looking at us. And he's still looking at us with this quanta love that's described in Exodus. It's jealous love that he wants all of you. So he looks upon and he feeds upon the innocence in our lives, the purity in our lives. But that's exactly what he nourishes us with. So it's this constant going, being part of your God's original intention for you. You know, you've come from the heart of the Father, and that's where you still are, even though you're here on this earth.
Yeah.
So some, did I give Isaiah 55 to you, Sandra? Okay,
yeah.
Can you read verses 1, 2, and 3?
Oh, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come you buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul be delighted itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Okay. So this invitation, the Lord is always inviting, not just, you know, Christians. He's inviting every person he's ever created to come and drink. And it really messes with our natural mind because we think we have to pay for something. So, but when you press in and when you begin to realize my beloved is mine and I am his, then there is no currency exchange in the natural. It's all in the spirit. And this is what we talked about in the church at Ephesus and the church at Philadelphia. Their love, what was happening in that realm of their realization of who God was here and who God was here. So we saw in Philadelphia, they used it to the advantage where they endured through hardships. And even though the Lord said, you know, I see that you're a little weak, but he admonished them and he gave them a pat on the back because they hung in there. So the deeper we go into intimacy with the Lord, we will find the more we can handle, the better we can handle situations. Not just the more we can handle, but the better we can handle situations. So he never stops inviting us. So Karen, would you read Revelation 21:6?
He also said to me, "It is done." Mm-hmm.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who is thirsty, I will give water free of charge from the spring of the water of life. Okay, so we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, and he is still saying it. Revelation 22:17. Somebody could read that.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen. So here you see, you know, the Lord is talking to us, and then all of a sudden, we're joining in, and we're talking to everybody also, because we've got it settled. At that point, you better have it settled. So, so let's look at the promise that Jesus gave to everybody when he was here ministering to the masses in Matthew 5, 6. Somebody read that.
Matthew 5, 6.
Matthew 5, 6. You got it?
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, mm-hmm. for they shall be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. And the rich, what did he do? He sent them away. Hungry. I mean, they, on their own accord, walked away because they didn't want to give up what he was asking for them to give up. So he's not going to force us to love him.
Well, if it's forced, it's not love.
No, it's control.
Love is a choice.
Yep.
So that's why, well, I just don't love that person. No, love's a choice.
That's right.
It's a choice.
Whether you feel it or not.
Yeah.
You get it out there into the atmosphere.
I choose to love you.
That's right. It's all about choices. So, have you found yourself in this place? Song of Solomon 2:16. You, personally. I mean, I'm sure that most of us around the table are pretty mature in the Lord, pretty old in the Lord, but we did go from that first step when we first met the Lord, and we are progressing. Right? So I just want to encourage people, this is where we start, when we recognize that he is our beloved, but still we're self-focused at this point. So the next stair that we climb is Song of Solomon 6:3. It's a little bit different. Sounds kind of the same, but it's a little bit different. Can somebody read that?
I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. Graces among the lilies.
Amen. So there's the progression. What do you think the lily stands for in these verses? Somebody.
Jesus was called the lily, mm-hmm. the lily of the valley. And so if we're grazing among the lilies, we're grazing on him.
Or yes.
Among his people.
Among his people.
It could, part of the body.
Could be purity too, because lilies were white and very fragrant.
You know, I've read the Song of Solomon, and you know, we all have our different takes on it.
Right.
And being the manly man I am.
Yeah.
I've struggled with it. Mm-hmm. And finally the Lord said to me, he says, listen, he says, one of your greatest attributes is you're not afraid to get naked with me. In other words, you're not afraid to be honest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so he, as you progress in your walk with me, he said to me, he says, when your attitude toward being naked with me will depend on whether perversion can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lose the awe,
yeah,
that he receives me completely the way I am,
yeah,
then perverted nakedness will come in.
Yeah,
and you know, that's a twist on perversion.
Right.
The bottom line is that he's so pure that when we lose the awe that he can still gaze upon us,
mm-hmm.
then we become what he thinks we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose that awe.
Yeah.
And I think we open the door for the enemy to start tainting our awareness of how pure he really is.
Yeah.
And that we are supposed to be like him.
Right, exactly. So, in this here... In this scripture, one of the things that I see is very similar to what you're saying, that we recognize that we become this worthy dwelling place for him to come into. Because we recognize, just like you said, that we stand pure
true love
before the
a,
Lord.
True love is a relationship of
right.
give and take.
Right.
And if we don't enter into that give and take, then it will consider it one-sided. And then we'll think he's really not that intimate with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. But his intimacy will change us.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
With all you women here, I feel outnumbered. I'm going to shut up.
So at this point we're deeper, we're gazing upon him, we're getting to know him, we're in a deeper relationship with him, we're perceiving ourselves in a different way, because here we are saying, my beloved is mine and I am his, and then we're recognizing I am my beloved's. It's a different twist on the way we see things. So we have become this worthy dwelling place. Sin doesn't have a place in us then, because we know that the eye of the Lord is already upon us. And so the enemies of God become our enemies. We learn to hate the things that God hates. And it takes us to another place of relationship and another place of authority in the Lord. Because then we stand in this place. Exodus 14:13, it says, "Do not be afraid. Stand and see the salvation of your God." So we get into this place where we're comfortable with the Lord. We know who he is. Like Pastor Charlie said, we maintain this awe before the Lord, and we're able to rest, even though all hell might be raking loose around us. Our relationship has matured to the point where we can stand and see the salvation of our God. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, he says, "You shall not need to fight this battle. Just stand still."
Stand still.
So this is, I think, one thing that a lot of people struggle with. It's this second step of becoming more mature in the Lord. It's hard to stand still when all hell is breaking loose. But it's,
really?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, to have that tenacity that the Lord had when he set his face like flint on Jerusalem. I mean, he just did it for the joy that was set before him, even the cross, you know, he saw us. So we have to, that is heaven's perspective. So as mature sons of God, as we climb these stairs of intimacy, our perspective changes because we come up higher. There's a quote from this, he's called St. Francis of de Sales. He was a bishop or something like that back in the 1600s. And he wrote a book called Tristi on the Love of God. And I like this quote. It says, "When self-seeking is laid aside, we become wholly mingled and made one with him." And I think about when I put cream in my coffee. And I was like, what?
Now, is that holy H-O-L or W-H-O-L?
W-H-O-L.
Completely.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We're just in there. We're totally in there. So, let me see. Yeah, holy. It's the jealousy of God that we are engaging with, this jealous love that all I want is the Lord, all I want is to please the Lord, just like when he looks at us all, he wants us holy. So we don't interfere with his will anymore, and the river of love flows voluntarily. So, okay. Any comments on that second step? No?
Just got
to
do it.
Yes, we have to do it. We have to do it. The earth is groaning. It's waiting for us to move forward. I mean, it is waiting. He is coming. And, you know, we have to get ready. Seriously. Do we need coffee this morning?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know, I need what you had.
Well, I can share a little bit about that too, but So the third step, this is it, and it is, oh, I'm going to be okay, it's 9:26. Okay, so we're on the third stair. This is the top of this is the top of the ladder. Song of Solomon 7:10. Somebody read it.
7:10?
Yes.
I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me.
Yes. See. Now, there was a lady in the 16th century, Madame Guyon, and she wrote a book on the Song of Solomon, and I have used some of it for my reference here. And because of this book that she wrote, she ended up in the Bastille back in the day, and it was all about desire. Because, you know, in our culture, in so many cultures, I mean, in some Muslim cultures, people are disfigured because of they don't want to engage with desire. And then you have other cultures that don't hug or don't kiss or stuff like that. Everything is very staunch and protected, and feelings are protected. And then you can go on the other end of the spectrum, and you know, we look at the
and have the flower child.
Yeah, or yeah, the and the fruit and the fruits of Belial in the earth, and how perverted men can get. But the desire of the Lord is so pure and holy and powerful, and it enables us to move forward and press forward, even as the Philadelphia church did. Through all their trials and the earthquakes that they had to live with and stuff. And it was desire. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful. So you begin to engage in the quantum love of God, and it consumes you. And this is what she wrote that got her in trouble. You are so lost in Him that you can't find yourself. Isn't that beautiful?
That's cool.
It got her in jail.
Oh, yeah. It got her in the Bastille.
Okay.
You are so lost. You are so lost in Him that you can't find yourself. He has transformed you into His likeness. He will never cast you away, and you no longer fear any separation from Him. God will never banish you from His presence. You are confirmed in love forever. Love had its perfect work in you. Isn't that beautiful? So we saw in Isaiah 55, Revelation 21, Revelation 22, that love is active. It's active. You can't say you love somebody and do nothing. Mm-hmm. It's something that has to be expressed. Right? Like the living water that we read about. Right? So there's a lot of thirsty people out there in the world, and we are called to be mature sons of God, and it's our job to start giving people water. The water of the word that washes and cleanses. So let's look at James chapter 1, verse 4. Because there's a word that's used here, but it really should be a different
James
word.
What?
James 1, verse 4.
I've got it. And let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything.
Right.
It's steadfastness.
Right. But in the Hebrew, in King James, the word is let patience have its perfect work. And if you follow it through to the end, it means love. So if we read that, it would say, but let love have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So that's truth right there.
I was listening to a tape this week. He talked about, you know, there's sitting seasons, there's all these seasons,
mm-hmm.
And then there's just a season that just to stand
mm-hmm.
against the enemy.
Yeah.
And he used the scripture, he says, listen, when all you can do is stand, stand.
That's right.
And wait the devil out, because perseverance is a fruit of the Spirit, and he doesn't have it.
Amen.
And it hit me.
That's good.
Is that perseverance is a fruit of the Spirit, and the devil doesn't have it. In other words, you can outlast him.
Amen. Absolutely.
Which means you're going to continue to go back into the Holy Ghost, go back into love,
yep.
go back
yeah.
to life, because it's the perseverance is the fruit of the Spirit, and
yeah.
Satan does not have it.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
That just struck me. I'm
yeah,
like, and that's
is.
Really that scripture right there.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. he doesn't have any of them.
He has no fruit of the Spirit. We do. And that's
and
why
we
can win. We have the ability to stand.
That's right.
And that is patience. You know, I want you to know that since let patience have her perfect worth, that's patience is a female.
Yeah. Just like wisdom.
You know, I know.
Got to listen to those women.
But perseverance, you know, I really, it hit me. I mean, I've chomped on it all week. You can outlast the devil's onslaughts.
Amen. Absolutely.
If you're anchored in love and you're
yep.
anchored in Christ, the
yep.
devil will not win. Why?
He won't.
Because he does not have perseverance.
Yeah.
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that just changed my warfare position.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, there's all right. walking seasons, there's running seasons, there's sitting seasons, and then there's standing seasons.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, you're going to use different fruits of the spirits to run, walk, and do everything else. And then, so,
okay, yes, we're talking about love here, okay? So let's go to the second part of that verse. It says, his desire is towards me. So somebody read Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11.
Hear, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord. Bow to him.
So he wants our undivided attention and affection, and that is a cultivating desire. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's something that comes right from our Heavenly Father. So if we're trying to work it up, it'll never happen. But if we ask our Father, Lord, stir up desire within my heart, then it's something, it's a prayer he's going to answer because that's what he desires.
This is kind of interesting. At the beginning it says, to the chief musician, set to the lilies.
Ah, interesting. So that's a good correlation.
But you know, go look at
good
first
connection.
Of all there, the people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts and riches.
Yeah.
Of the people. Tyre is the demonic kingdom. It represents.
So
king of Tyre mm-hmm. will look for gifts or anything else. But what he's saying up there is when your desire is me and his desire is you, the enemy can't entice you away.
Tyre had everything. That was where they printed the first coins and stuff like that. I mean, the king of Tyre had the vessels, the merchant ships. Yeah, so that is the truth. When we're focused on him, yeah, we can't
be. It's kind of like seek ye first the kingdom. These other things will be.
That's right.
You know, so just drop kingdom and say seek ye first the king.
Yes.
And his kingdom. And then these other things will be added unto you.
That's right. Okay, let me look at the time. All right. So I want you to picture this. This is also from Madame Guyon's book. Just think, it's a word picture. Picture this. Pour a liquid into a vessel and you will see it rest, quietly bound by the lines that limit the vase and assuming its exact shape. It has no form or figure on its own, but only that of the vessel in which it is contained. Such, however, is not the natural pliancy of the soul. It has its own set form and shape outlined due to its habits, inclinations, and its will in itself. So if the Holy Spirit moved men to use the imagery of water to describe the Lord, the Word, his desire towards us, healing, wholeness. He wants his living water from heaven to fill us up. He's created our earthen vessels. We don't all look the same. I mean, you know, even identical twins can
look slightly different.
So we're all individuals. So this water, this is a beautiful picture for, in my mind, of what he wants to do. He wants this living water from everything that we read to fill us till we're totally filled up. Every little nook and cranny. So he wants us to have this life he's talking about. Come all who are thirsty and drink. Those who are thirsty will be filled. You know, it's beautiful. So this is what the ultimate, the end game is, Romans 8 verses 12 through 17. We'll let Pastor Charlie read that, since that is the vision of the house.
Romans 8.
Verses 12 through 17.
So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Down to where?
17.
For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we call Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Mm-hmm. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, then fellow heirs with Christ, providing we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Right.
I like that last part.
Yeah.
Providing.
But, right. We suffer. Right. So the thing is, what we've been talking about today, for those of you who maybe are new in the Lord, or on your journey, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's a progressive journey. There's a stairway to heaven, so to speak, a stairway into the heart of God. And you can find that stairway in the Song of Solomon. And though you might get a little squeamish about it, like this guy over here, it is something that the Lord is going to put on you. If you ask him for desire, he will put it in you. He will put it on you. He will come behind you, and he will push you closer towards his throne. And as mature sons of God, this is the message of intimacy is what we have the privilege of bringing to everyone on the planet, and that it will help them be guided into the heart of God. There's one thing I just wanted to read quickly before we end. It's one of a little portion of my devotion in my book made me think about how one of the things that robs us from this time with the Lord is time, is that we operate in chronos time, and it really can constrain us if we don't discipline ourselves to spend time with the Lord. So this is just something I wanted to share. So my devotion says, I will no longer serve the clock, but rather the timeless plan of God. I must be completely divorced from the past as well as the future and live in the present. So if we're always, you know, for those of us that have been through traumatic experience and or have had any bad experiences in our lives, sometimes that also robs us from an intimate relationship with the Lord, because we're so focused on how wounded we are that we don't move past that. So there's so many roadblocks in our life on this earth that will rob us. But I like what Pastor Charlie said about, you know, the enemy does not have the fruits of the Spirit, but we do. And so going back to the Church of Philadelphia, the Lord really was pleased with them because they endured even though they had very little. So another place in here, I cannot dwell on the future because I do not know what God has in store for me. So dwelling on it is a fantasy, and fantasy is not reality. But the present is real, alive, active, and important. And to miss God's purpose for me today is to cripple my future as well as to neutralize the beneficial lessons of the past. That's really good. Yes. And I love this sentence because we all do this a lot. To be confined to a time clock is to tell God when to work.
Well, you better tell my boss.
But when we are in that place of intimacy that's described in Song of Solomon, it doesn't matter what time it is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter when God, you know, I've been praying for my son for 20 years. Am I discouraged? No, because I know that God's word is true. Mm-hmm. And it's all in God's timing.
Yep.
I like this. Schedules have their place, but God operates independently of them.
I told God one day his watch was broke. He informed me he didn't have one. How can you break something I don't have?
Yeah,
that's it.
That's awesome. So do you feel like in your own life, can you make note of the progression of your relationship with the Lord? I mean, I don't know how many of you like Song of Solomon or studied Song of Solomon, but can you see yourself in the progression of the cry of the Shulamite?
Sure.
Yes.
I think sometimes you do evaluation, you got to return back to it.
Yes.
It's part of the...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, you got to work on a marriage.
That's right. That's exactly what
it
is, too.
You have to work on a marriage. And so mm-hmm. why wouldn't I have to go back and reevaluate and work on that?
Yeah. That's good. That's right. But you can't have maturity without, you know, that's the thing. You can't have maturity without intimacy. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom anyway.
It's good work.
Right?
It's good work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't have maturity without intimacy. You have to have it. And I think the deeper you go with the Lord...
Well, so much of the body of Christ wants... They want intimacy for stimulation, not pregnation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
We don't want to be pregnant. We don't want to be pregnant with him. We just want to be stimulated.
Right.
We want to have a good time.
Right.
We don't want to carry him.
Right. I think a lot of people... living in the soul is a lot easier than living in the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Living in the soul. So, anyway, well, I am done.
Well, the problem is I can be the boss in my soul. He has to be
the
king.
Yeah,
he has to be king if I'm going to walk in the spirit.
Right, that's right.
There's a positional shift between the two that most of us don't like.
That's right. Surrender. To be able to surrender your will and your ways is hard. It's not an easy thing, but... We have the Holy Spirit, thank God for that. And he is the power of God unto salvation of every part of us, spirit, soul, and body. So, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. Read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.